This is Strikeout Baseball with Keith Sismarski.
It is Strikeout Baseball with Keith Sismarski, and I am the host, Keith Sismarski. Sitting alongside me is my wonderful co-host, as always, Jack.
Hello.
Jack, we have a guest in the building.
We do.
And he is Mr. Mike Harmon of Fox Sports Radio. For those of you who don't know, Mike Harmon is a local from Chicago right here. He grew up, he did go to St. Ignatius College Prep in Northwestern. He is a diehard White Sox and Bears fan. You can hear him every night on the Jason Smith Show featuring Mike Harmon from 10 to 1 a.m. Central Time, and that would be 8 p.m. to 11 time Pacific Time where Mike is. Mike is out in Los Angeles, and he joins us on the Ring Central Hotline. Mike, how are you doing today?
Gentlemen, what's going on? It's a beautiful, what is it, still Tuesday? Sometimes you lose track of days. Once you get into this world, it doesn't seem to stop. 24-7 processing data and stories and producers texting you at all hours of the night saying, hey, how about this guest? Or, hey, wouldn't this be a great angle on LeBron? I'm like, I'm tired of LeBron. Let me do something else. Find some other angle.
Yeah, we get really tired.
Pitchers reported, right?
Yeah. We get tired of talking to LeBron, too.
We're tired of LeBron. Yeah. It's time for pitchers and catchers. Mike, out here it's like 60 degrees and hasn't stopped raining in a day, but we're ready to talk baseball. That's what we're here for. I mean, it is strikeout baseball, you know?
Well, you got to get it flowing, right, as expectations start to get higher and higher, people looking away from the atrocities of the Bulls and Blackhawks seasons and certainly putting the Bears in the rear view mirror as best they can for a little while until we get to the t-shirt and underwear competition that is the combine and start getting excited about the draft. We push that off and you start thinking, well, the hope springs eternal, and people, you got 60 degree weather, so maybe people aren't longing for Arizona perhaps as much as they would most winters, but certainly, you know, the old adage of the rites of spring and people looking for what the next concessions are at the stands.
That's what I'm talking about, man. That's what I'm talking about. Spring training has arrived. Mike, so you grew up here in Chicago. You got into sports media. Would you like to tell us how you got into sports media and what how you grew up in Chicago and stuff like that? Give us
how
a little rundown.
Yeah, we got a long circular journey to my beginning in sports radio. In the intro, you mentioned me heading off to St. Ignatius. And, you know, most kids, the overachievers that line those hallways, they'd be at the lunch tables for an hour early, but they'd be finishing assignments or group projects or whatever else. You'd have nine of us knuckleheads yelling about the game the night before and bonehead manager moves out of the bullpen and what have you. Like, you know, you're coming across town on the bus and trains, getting there early. It's like, oh, I missed the beginning of who this guy's monologue. Normally it was me. But then we'd drift through and obviously attending every game that you possibly could. And shuffling through that, so the passion was always there. But you know, now not to show my age too much, but that's kind of the infancy of sports talk radio. Going, wow, wouldn't it be great if you could make a living yelling at each other like this? And sure enough, that becomes the burgeoning industry. I finished at Northwestern, worked for them for a bit in a fun role that will make you absolutely impervious to the pains and slings and arrows of social media by working in the financial aid department, handing out loan processes and grant procedures and everything else. And when people came in for interviews, I'd get them for an hour to go through, hey, this is how much you're about to borrow to become a doctor, lawyer, or whatever the discipline was. And a lot of them would start screaming at me, crying, throwing things, telling me all sorts of things that are not FCC compliant for what we're doing here right now. So after that, anything else anybody wants to say is nice and easy. Went to work at Yahoo at the foundation of their fantasy sports world, and my job was, as the great communicator I was, you know, again, I had people taking $200,000 worth of debt, and I was able to make them feel like it was a nice, you know, the cold medicine that mom and dad used to have you take when you were a kid. It's like, here's a little bit of candy alongside the cold meds, and I made it feel okay. So, you know, I go to work at Yahoo, and my job is to do all the communication, the rules pages, the help pages, and work with the engineers and producers to come up with the next great innovations on the sports side of things. And then we did a contest with 10 disc jockeys for the next fantasy football run, but we didn't hire anybody to do any of this promotional stuff or do reads or whatever. The page just found its way into my hand. I didn't even need to volunteer. My boss was like, all you do is argue here. You're the loudest guy in the room. So started doing that. Those became weekly football hits. And by baseball, we had a nice little network of stuff we were doing. Started doing some video hits and spin it forward video and column writing and a lot of fantasy baseball and football column writing into a full-blown career in the long-winded way of becoming a radio what they say, personality. I say it's just me being me.
That's just you being you. I like it, Mike. So you're here growing up in Chicago. You're obviously a White Sox fan. We know about that. What do you think of the rebuild that the White Sox are currently going through right now?
Well, it's in vogue, right? After watching the Astros and the Cubs do the pull it down to the studs and start rebuilding, you know, it necessitates that you've got to be hit very frequently and be right with your bets as you're going into this young, talented pool, but with a good nucleus, and then you're hoping for one or two breakouts that perhaps you find the means for success, and you start to build, and then with money, in theory, saved, and this is one of the great debates that we always have is, well, if you're not spending the money, in theory, you're holding back for that next edition once things start to turn around. Are you willing to spend it? And I have to believe that as Jerry Reinsdorf ages and he's looking at, you know, the largesse of the landscape, that you do make that push, that one last, you know, if it's another arm at the trade deadline, if you're hanging around or you need another bat, whichever that may be, that you go and you be aggressive and you make that move because you've done the right things building your minor league system. And from all appearances, with some of the moves that have been made, certainly the Chris Sale deal standing out most, that you've built that nucleus that pushes forward and for people to start getting excited. They're not household names yet, but now this is where you pull out the bullhorn and become a sales and marketing man with everything you can to try to say, hey, you sold hope and change over on the north side for a number of years and it came to fruition, and now it's time for the rebuild to come to bear here on the south side.
Mike, you mentioned the trade deadline a little bit earlier, and one guy that's been has had trades rumors swirling around him for a while now is Jose Abreu. Do you think Jose Abreu is in this for the long haul? Do you think that he's going to be with the Sox once they're competitive, or do you think that they're going to ship him off and see what they can get for him?
I think it comes down to how well are you competing early. You know, we're always keeping an eye on what the attendance is, and certainly when we're talking about guaranteed rate field, you're not looking at, you know, the gangbuster numbers that you do on the north side, or certainly out here in Los Angeles. And, you know, the Dodgers, you know, pack them in game after game, and their expectations are huge. Here, you need to perform before people start showing up on the south side, as we know, for year after year. But based on Abreu's salary, you know, the salary is just too nice to walk away from, but you start going to arbitration, not an unrestricted free agent until 2020 at this point. And we're starting to get into his 30s, too. You know, the slow starts, the numbers are always there at the end. But, you know, for those of you out there listening that played some fantasy baseball, you know of the usual early season struggles of a Jose Abreu very well. So
anybody who
follows. Now it's the question of, you know, what would that haul be for Abreu? If it means another two or three arms and that project bat, you know, he's a first baseman. First baseman are replaceable.
Absolutely. I think that anybody who follows the White Sox here in Chicago knows of the early season Jose Abreu struggles, right?
it's very pronounced. And in our Fox Sports Radio studios in the evenings, by the time I roll in ahead of our pre-show meetings, they always have, you know, for my co-host Jason, the Mets are on one corner TV. I get the other corner TV with the White Sox, so there's two in the middle, with whatever else is going on in the sporting world, maybe the show ahead of us, whatever their fandom dictates. But come in, and we watch the games. And again, if you were to tape those and display those on air, a lot of really nasty things are said. A lot of anger.
Naturally.
You want to talk about an on-air therapy session? I think that's what that would be. All the angst of a day is let out. And if they gave me a slam man or some kind of apparatus like that, I think I'd bust through it most nights of the year.
Mike, you mentioned your show on Fox Sports Radio. How did you come to work for Fox Sports Radio? How did that whole deal come about?
Well, it jumped out of the world of my Yahoo deal. Guys, I was working with there, and we built the monster, and you know, everybody can go back and think about the history of the fantasy sports world and online sports communities. You know, you have ESPN, and then there was a void, and Yahoo, the way we built things, both from the gaming side and the continuity and just the performance of those games, and also making them free when everybody else was looking for cash out of college kids and those that were trying to come in. We built that great community, and the guys I was working with there, we hit a point where it's like, all right, what's the next growth? And they had an opportunity to move over to Fox. Knowing the details of my contract, as soon as it was up, I got, you know, more or less, you know, if you could do a holographic, here's a couple of bosses waving at you. That's really all it was. And we came to terms on a deal. I worked out from out of upstate New York for about a year before they said, hey, we want you to come to L.A. to do some great things with us at Fox because of the TV and all of these other ties. At that point, the Fox Sports regionals. So I did a bunch of baseball things out of spring training, stand-ups once I joined. But the thing that sold me was the tie to radio. They brought me in to meet with a man named Andrew Ashwood, who was the head of Fox Sports Radio at the time. And he said, well, I like what you do. I like your energy, your cynicism, you know, well, a little bit of the South Side. What am I going to do? You can't take the South Side out of me no matter how often I move. And if I talk to you guys long enough, I'm going to go back into my South Side ease here in a minute. But the fact is that you have the idea of, hey, we'll have you on this football season because we're getting close to having to finalize lineups. Like, we'll have you be a contributor this year for a couple of segments, but already was guaranteeing me a slot as a co-host of this fantasy show following year. So for a couple of years, I did just fantasy football. So, you know, from mid-July through the end of December, and then I'd cycle out for a bit, go back to writing columns and whatever else I was doing. And eventually that became a year-round enterprise. And I still do the Sunday mornings. It's become a very ingrained part of who I am and helping people wake up and get their days started and their week started for fantasy season, still obviously fantasy football. But then Jason Smith, coming off of a run at NFL Network, former host of ESPN's Up All Night, they were looking for a partner with him. They thought we'd be goofy enough and interesting enough to do it. Now we're in year five of yelling at each other, vexing each other, and really making each other's lives miserable while providing great content, and we hope a release from everybody's daily drudgery. If you don't laugh within 5 minutes of turning on our show, then we seriously need to sit down and talk, because the sense of humor needs to be recalibrated in your life.
Well, that's what me and Keith are looking to do as well, in terms of just yelling at each other, which we've been doing for the last 5 weeks, not quite 5 years. But, Mike, you just obviously we've been talking a little bit about fantasy football. As a Bears guy, and as well as most of our listeners are Bears fans, one of the big questions is Mitch Trubisky. Where do you think he ends up in terms of quarterback play throughout this fantasy season upcoming pretty soon here?
Well, you saw some things that you liked, and it certainly, you know, I likened it a lot to what we watched out here with the Rams in the final season of the miserable Jeff Fisher run, where there really the cupboard was bare. Now John Fox doing a good job of the PR spin and, you know, saying, look, we inherited a mess and we brought it to a good place, and now it's time to build. The question is, how do you get receivers to come in here? It's the age-old question, right, in Chicago, because there's a lot of them on the free agent market. You're going to have a couple of guys that are going to get tagged. Allen Robinson probably gets tagged by the Jaguars. But when you're looking at it, a place where for years, and you guys may be too young to have heard it, to where it's ingrained and maybe tattooed on your soul, where wide receivers go to die has been long the term with the Chicago Bears. Ergo, as you go to this new era and you have your quarterback, and I was on record from day one saying, like, people were incensed and made a lot of noise about the trade with the 49ers, saying they got over. It's like, well, they traded a couple of draft picks of guys that may or may not make the team, and they got the guy they wanted.
Right.
I don't understand how that's a loss. You know, it's basically a front office hitching their wagon to the success of Mitchell Trubisky, and if it fails, then they go down with him. But now you look at it, completed 69% of his passes. There were a few games where he showed some signs that he can make that push. Now you got to get Kyle Long back, right? However you're able to get him back on the line. One of my favorite guys to watch play. Unfortunately, his body is failing.
Right, exactly. When he plays.
For 16. Right, but that's it. Can you keep him together for 16 games? at this point. I'm going to find him. He's living out here somewhere near me in the off season. So I'm going to stalk him and try to get some eyeballs on him to see how he's doing here. But if you can get your offensive line, and this is what the Rams did. It's the same blueprint. You get a couple of serviceable, not world-beating wide receivers, because certainly Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods aren't guys over the top as they became Buffalo West. Kind of interesting that all the guys Buffalo jettisoned off became big contributors. Marquise Goodwin up for the 49ers, these two guys for the Rams. And then they figured out bringing in Whitworth for the offensive line. They were able to get the run game going and get restarted. Well, that's what you have. You have two good running backs, and now it's a matter of how do you put the pieces around. Is Shaheen going to be up top end and a top-notch receiving option for you going forward? But can you convince a couple of wide receivers or find one or two in the draft that help put you over? That's the big question here going forward. So right now you have a big incomplete evaluation for Trubisky, but I'm intrigued to see what goes on, and I can't wait to show up for training camp and stalk the sidelines and see what I can find out firsthand.
We got a few more minutes here with Mike Harmon on SportsTownChicago.com. This is Strikeout Baseball with Keith Sismarski and Jack Savio. Mike, do you plan on going out and seeing, I have to ask you since you are out in Los Angeles, are you plan out and going to see Shohei Ohtani pitch for the Angels when he is in town?
Sure, once he's healthy, is the, and we can guarantee that, another guy they may have to duct tape together to keep him going. But, it's one of the great enigmas of this offseason, right? You have the bidding war, you bring him in, and for the Angels, to a large degree, the way things are set up in Chicago, right? You have the Cubs, and then you have the small, dedicated following of the Chicago White Sox. You have the same thing here. It's a Dodger town. It's Dodger, Dodger, Dodger. And look, that's our flagship AM570 LA Sports, and I'd be remiss if I didn't just disclose that up front. I mean, the Dodgers rule. When you talk about these huge, hey, you know what? You guys will learn this quick, man. Just make sure you let people know where you're coming from. But you're talking about a team with a winning track record, right? Yeah. Just this close to the World Series. You guys now have Yu Darvish, and many Dodger fans will be writing you thank you cards here momentarily. Something about tipping will probably be included in every one-liner. But you have the idea that you've got a team that's competitive. They spend money. They go after it. When you talk about the giant piles of cash and Brinks trucks in terms of bringing these guys back, Matt Kemp's in the best shape of his life, losing 50 pounds, all these storylines. And then you have the Angels, right? Mike Trout's a superstar. You know what the most interesting thing about him is? He's got two things now. He's an Eagles fan, and he likes to talk about the weather. Okay? So Ohtani signing made a small blip here, a very small ripple on the sporting landscape. And naturally, because what the Rams were getting set to do all the talk of the new stadium here in Los Angeles, that becomes a big deal. But when you talk about the Angels, they're such an also-ran in terms of the storylines, that unless they're suddenly competing in August for a division and things are rolling and Trout's healthy and putting up monster numbers and Pujols hasn't fallen off, another guy with first half issues that suddenly at the end the numbers look good, people go, oh, he had a good year. It's like, No, he didn't. Right. He didn't. He was useless in April and May. But it's the same kind of thing that, unless they're competitive and those numbers are just popping off the charts as you get to the All-Star game and where you can start promoting these guys, they're an also-ran. It's a beautiful ballpark. If you haven't been, you can take a quick five-minute trip and you're standing there in line for 2 hours for the Guardians of the Galaxy ride, and you can have fun there. And if you make it out to Anaheim, let me know. I'll come take a picture with you by the big ball caps as well.
Sounds good.
Absolutely.
I've been to both, so I can agree with you that both stadiums are quite the sounds a lot like the Lakers and the Clippers, honestly, in terms of the types of media coverage that they get.
Well, the Clippers at least give you a lot of storylines.
Right.
There's been a lot of infighting, a lot of, what kind of guy is Doc Rivers? We had a chance last week. We filled in for the Dan Patrick Show. Jason and I did. Nice. And we had a former NBA player in with us, Ryan Hollins, and he was kind of talking a little bit about what was going on behind the scenes. Guys just didn't get along, and a lot of it was, the Doc Rivers effect, to where people were looking at him. Matt Barnes came on and was just flat out saying, guys didn't trust Doc. He lied to people. And, you have a guy in a tough spot, and this is one of those great media, learnings as you go, is you got a guy who's trying to do multiple hats. and you'll find this in the career, a guy who wants to be on air, but he's also a quasi-program director, producer, whatever else. You know, at some point, you got to decide which hat you're wearing. And for Doc Rivers, you know, sometimes between exec and coach, oh, and dad, you know, it became a very difficult juggling proposition for him.
Mike, thank you so much for joining us here on SportstownChicago.com. He is Mike Harmon. Go ahead and follow him on Twitter at Swollen Dome and visit his website, www.swollendome.com. He does a fantastic job for Fox Sports Radio. He is on the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, and you can hear that here in Chicago, 10 to 1 a.m., or if you're anywhere else, it'd be 11 to 2 Eastern time and 8 to 11. Mike, thank you so much for the interview, man. We really appreciate the time.
Oh, anytime. Carry me around in the on the iHeartRadio app in your pocket, wherever you may be. And if you blare it loud enough at the bars, you might get a drink or two either spilled on you or bought for you. Appreciate right. you guys.
Thank
Thanks
you, Mike.
So much.
Appreciate
Thanks, Mike.
It.
Take it easy, man. That is Mike Harmon from Fox Sports Radio. We'll discuss here on Strikeout Baseball coming up next. We will discuss the Mike Harmon interview, and the Yankees have a new general manager, maybe? We'll tell you all about it on Strikeout Baseball with Keith Sismarski and Jack Savio on SportstownChicago.com.